Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half hour of discussion on U.S. policy, human rights, the environment, and more. I'm Dori Smith. Our guest today is Mary Ellen McNish, the General Secretary of the American Friends Service Committee, AFSC, a Quaker organization with headquarters in Philadelphia and Washington, D.C., and satellite offices throughout America. Our topic is AFSC's hurricane relief efforts. AFSC was one of a handful of international non-governmental organizations to commit to providing $1 million to feed Hurricane Katrina evacuees. The webpage is afsc.org. The phone number, if you would like to make a donation to AFSC's hurricane relief efforts, 1-888-588-2372. And we'll be giving that information throughout the program. On afsc.org, members of the group's board say, quote, "We seek to understand and address the root causes of poverty, injustice, and war. We hope to act with courage and vision in taking initiatives that may not be popular." Mary Ellen McNish, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you.
The American Friends Service Committee does a great deal of relief work, but doesn't often get mentioned at the top of the list like some of the other relief organizations, such as the Red Cross.
Yes.
Talk about your success now with helping victims of Hurricane Katrina.
Well, we rose to the occasion in the first days after the disaster occurred, when all you were seeing on television were images of people, you know, stranded on rooftops and the disaster in the Superdome and the Convention Center. And we immediately sent aid in the form of funding to the Interfaith Ministries of Houston, who were taking up the feeding of the 27,000 people who were in the Astrodome. And we also sent an assessment team into the region to begin to look at where we could work long-term to alleviate the problems that were highlighted by this terrible disaster. The American Friends Service Committee isn't ordinarily a first responder in the United States in disasters. That's not true overseas in some places where we have programs in Africa and Latin America and places like that. But in the United States, we don't usually do that. But we saw the complete and utter failure this time of the entire system and felt we had to step in.
The American Friends Service Committee had a first goal to raise $1 million and achieved that goal. What do you feel about that immediate success that you had in getting people who knew of your work to immediately donate that kind of money?
Well, they've been just completely convinced by watching television and hearing the news reports and trusting us in delivering something to the region. I think they were not convinced that either FEMA and in some cases the Red Cross were going to be able to step forward. What is known to a lot of people, and probably not to many of your listeners, is that after Hurricane Camille in 1969, AFSC brought people from the region to Congress to testify that the major aid organizations were bypassing poor communities in handing out assistance, and that's when FEMA was formed. And so our donors know that, and so they trusted us. And they thought that we would be able to reach people who are not being served, like the poor and undocumented workers and Native Americans.
Now, initially, the networks had just four charitable aid organizations listed as the prime aid organizations to give money to, and that was somewhat criticized. Was there then a change where major networks like CNN put your name up and others as well, and did that make a big difference?
I believe they put others up. They didn't put ours up because of the fact that we're seen as a responder to crises overseas. We're not seen by the general public as a responder to crises in the United States. So We were never put up on CNN or any of the other networks. We were put up in a lot of local newspapers where we have offices that are connected to the people at AFSC and where the trust is high and where they knew they could count on where their money would go.
Let's talk about what AFSC people did in the region where your aid has been making a difference.
Well, two main things. One was feeding people in the Astrodome immediately. And the second is working with helping what is called a neighbor-to-neighbor program in Houston, where once people were taken from the Astrodome and resettled in a community, other community members would make a commitment to visit them at least 3 times a month, make sure they had access to local doctors, make sure their kids got registered for school, visited with them, just neighbor-to-neighbor kinds of things.
You're listening to a Talk Nation radio interview with Mary Ellen McNish, General Secretary of the American Friends Service Committee. If you would like to contribute to AFSC's Hurricane Katrina relief effort, log on to afsc.org or phone 888-588-2372. That's 1-888-588-2372. And so what are your new goals now, Mary Ellen McNish?
We currently have an assessment team in the region, 6 people, and they are looking at areas that are underserved. And when they report back, they're supposed to report back on October 25th, I believe, we will begin developing a few, maybe one, maybe two, it depends on what it is, long-term programs in communities that are devastated by this storm. That's one thing. Another thing that we're doing is working with an organization called Every Church a Peace Church that has Quakers, Mennonites, Church of the Brethren, the National Council of Churches, the Methodists, and other faith-based groups that are trying to work congregation to congregation to help rebuild Black churches in the communities where they live, as well as help them to participate in the community development efforts around their churches. One of the things we don't want to happen is for major contractors to come in and level all those homes and build high-cost, high-rent apartments and homes for the wealthy, thereby displacing all the poor people that were affected by this storm. And we think that that's possible. And this effort is going to try to keep that from happening. And the third thing we're doing, we have made a fund available for Quaker meetings, Quaker churches, and Quaker organizations to get financial support from us to do another kind of a friends meeting to particularly Black churches or other organizations in the region that need help where they may have their own connections.
I interviewed someone who went in as a medical crisis worker to Algiers, where there was a quick and free clinic set up, and they provided the first medical care for victims there, which was kind of remarkable, given that, you know, we had the full force of the U.S. government supposedly there. But so this group did say that the United Church of Christ was there helping. Can listeners assume that in an interfaith situation, that a church like the United Church of Christ might be one that could get access to AFSC support in that situation?
I'm sure they could. We would welcome partnering with them in such an endeavor. There's another thing that we are looking at right now and talking with folks about it, and that is there were an awful lot of Black families who took people into their homes, and we're working with an organization. It's not finalized yet, so I can't say names or anything, but we're looking at the possibility of giving each of those families who are connected to an African American church, giving them debit cards with $1,000 for their expenses of hosting people in their homes. So people can be confident, if they would want to send a contribution to us, that if we're not doing it ourselves, we are in partnership with other bona fide nonprofit organizations with a 501c3 status under the IRS tax codes who are in the region doing the delivery of the service.
Now, the American Friends Service Committee has received very high ratings of A from the American Institute of Philanthropy. Talk about just the general relief effort that AFSC has been doing for many years in many places.
The American Friends Service Committee actually started in 1917 to provide assistance in the wartime and provide non-military work for conscientious objectors to war. During that time, we started with Reconstruction in France after World War I and feeding millions of German, Italian, and French children. And so that work continued into World War II, where in 1947, we were awarded the Nobel Peace Prize on behalf of Quakers for their work after World War II and the devastation that that created. We are the American service organization of Quakers, and as such, we are, as you may know, that Quakers are part of the historic peace churches, and so we're a pacifist organization. And so binding the wounds of war is how we started. And now we continue with that work, especially overseas. Actually, in Africa, there are many wars, as you probably know. And we're working in Afghanistan and Iraq as well.
Now, in Iraq, I know your aid program is one of those that targets civilian populations, and there is so little work being done in that regard. Let's talk about that just a little bit. Explain what AFSC has been doing in Iraq.
Just actually recently, we've taken our staff out of Iraq because it was just too dangerous. We couldn't keep them in. But prior to that, we were providing startup funds for local nonprofits, student organizations, women's organizations, and we were working toward creating a base of civil society organizations. It had been so long, and Iraq was under a dictatorship for so long, there were no traditions of nonprofits operating, and we were working to give help to those people. At the same time, we installed, I believe it was 6 water purifiers in health centers and hospitals where they didn't have clean water.
And so people now who are considering the incredible civilian toll that's been taken since the U.S. invasion of 2003, it's very sad, isn't it, to think that not even AFSC people can be safe in Iraq today, because I know AFSC was well considered in Iraq by the civilians who were, you know, used to who you were and what you could offer.
Yes.
That's very sad.
It's very sad. And the American Friends Service Committee Board of Directors at its meeting in March of 2004 called for an immediate withdrawal of U.S. forces from Iraq, because we believe that the occupation is now the problem in fueling this furious pushback from the insurgents, and that if the United States left, the military left, and an international force came in with the United Nations leading the effort, that it would be a much better opportunity for peace in Iraq.
And once again, if you're listening and hoping to contribute to AFSC's emergency relief efforts for Hurricane Katrina victims, contact them at 1-888-588-2372 or log on to afsc.org. I asked Mary Ellen McNish, the General Secretary at AFSC, to talk about Civil War developments in Iraq and continued policy failures there.
It certainly looks like that, and it's just a tragedy. It's just a tragedy. We would hope that the administration would find a different approach when they see it's not working, but it seems to me that they haven't been able to come to that that understanding, and I believe that their whole entire philosophy of U.S. foreign policy is one based on U.S. dominance and power and military power is such a failure after 60 years or 70 years of international law and negotiation and diplomacy, and the tragedy is that Iraq is just one place that we're seeing this, and we're seeing the saber rattling about Iran and North Korea and Syria, and everybody's thinking, oh my heavens, what's next, and how can we stop this juggernaut from just swapping our pristine history of negotiation and support for the United Nations. It's true that the United Nations needs to be reformed, there's no question, but as the administration thinks about reform, they think about corruption. And I agree that wherever there's corruption in the United Nations bureaucracy, it needs to be rooted out. But the way the rest of the world looks at reform in the United Nations, it's about the Security Council having a veto power over everything. And those members of the Security Council who are the United States and Russia and the superpowers of the world control everything, and the rest of the countries have no say, actually. And that's what needs to be reformed in the United Nations.
Looking at the way this administration has handled itself in Iraq and the kinds of things that happened as of the invasion of early 2003, would you say that it's surprising that the relief effort for the people of New Orleans was so badly handled, or was it something that seemed to you to be in keeping with the way this administration has operated?
I think that we saw in the wake of Katrina that the approach of the federal government was deplorable, and it was a complex set of decisions that were made that made it so deplorable. The fact that FEMA was put under the Department of Homeland Security, the fact that the head of FEMA was a political appointment with really no authority, the fact that the head of Homeland Security was far more focused on what he called terror threats and not the possibility of, what Mother Nature did in this case, and the idea that they believe it worked in Iraq. Now, part of the problem in New Orleans, of course, was that half of the Louisiana National Guard was in Iraq, and they had all their high-water vehicles in Iraq, which is a desert. So you have a federal government whose decision-making capacities are quite suspect to me, and a complete failure to mobilize when disaster strikes at home. And now I think you have an American public who's thinking, well, how safe are we, really? How safe are we if they can't even do this right? What are they going to do with another terrorist attack? And I think a lot of people are worried about that.
Susan B. Glasser, writing in the Washington Post, Wednesday, April 27th, 2005, the number of serious international terrorist incidents, and they more than tripled in 2004, and that's according to U.S. government figures.
Uh-huh.
So to talk about a threefold increase kind of, again, begs the question of what the success is of the restructuring that the Bush administration did to intelligence and to even U.S. laws having to do with the Patriot Act and on and on.
That's right. One of the things that we're very worried about is how they use fear, just like they did after 9/11, to create Homeland Security, to do the Patriot Act, and they've done all that, and they've manipulated the U.S. public so that they could, and now it's seen as ineffective. And that's where I think the American people need to do a better job of assessing how effective this administration is. And, of course, here we are with Katrina, and they want to send in the Marines, and that's been a failed policy. So why do they want to do it again?
Now, the sending in of the military and the military force that we saw outlined on television programs and radio shows like Democracy Now, with great people like Amy Goodman keeping track of this.
Yes. You know, the primary mission of the military is not humanitarian assistance. And we saw, you know, the president even called them armies of compassion, all of the churches, and they were all doing a much better job. And the top-down response from the government in sending in the military ignores the civilian capability that is rightly lodged with the state and local government. Not to say there weren't problems in this case with those as well. I don't want to say that there weren't. But when you have a civilian authority, it's got to be funded. The lines of authority have to be clear. Everybody has to know what they're responsible for doing, and then they have to be held accountable for doing it. In this case, the National Guard was missing because they were in Iraq. The local authority had absolutely no funds to do what they needed to do, and then the federal response from FEMA was non-existent until the president started going down in the polls, and then he sent in the military. Now, did the military get the job done in those early days? Certainly far better than FEMA did. But, you know, there's a reason why back in the beginning of the laws of this country, that around the revolution, they barred active duty troops from law enforcement activities that were in the hands of state governors and local authorities. And they did this because they didn't want a military at the national level taking over what should be rightly done at the local level. And I think that they were justified in their skepticism at that time. It was right around the American Revolution. And this has been a tradition for all those hundreds of years. And now, I believe, it's at stake because President Bush wants to put the authority for disaster relief in the military. And I think it's a wrong-headed policy.
Just talk about the way the Bush administration has appeared to the NGO world, as it basically strips the heart out of some of the long-trusted processes within the UN communities. And again, this administration seems to be heading toward privatization, always toward controlling whatever monies are available, including social service monies. And we could talk about that, too, the faith-based initiatives and the money going into church-based programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, there are going to be a lot of listeners who are going to assume that American Friends Service Committee, interfaith groups are going to be getting that money. But do you get that money?
We're actually opposed to his faith-based initiatives, and we're opposed to it because we believe it is the responsibility of government to have a strong social safety net. That's how we are judged. That's how we will be judged in eternity. And if the government fails to provide the social safety net for those who need it, it will be disastrous. Nonprofits, non-governmental organizations, whether faith-based or not, cannot step in to fill that gap. They just don't have the kind of funding that the government has. it's got to be a partnership with local, state, and federal government, but it is the government's responsibility to take care of its people. It's not faith-based organizations. So we're opposed to that. I also believe that, and to your first question, the reputation of the United States of America has never been lower in the rest of the world, in Europe, in Africa, in Asia, in South America. It has never been lower. People now fear the United States of America rather than respect them.
And that would be expected from an administration with a president who says you're either with us or against us.
Right.
And so the long-range problem that we see now with having privatized so much of the government's responsibilities to citizens under the Constitution, how are we going to ever come out from under the system that they've been setting up?
We're led in everything we do by hope, and that there is that of God in every person, and that love eventually can prevail. And so we're a very hopeful religious group, and we believe that we can dismantle these draconian changes in U.S. foreign policy, given the right people and given the people who are committed to making it happen. So I don't think it's hopeless.
Let's talk finally about the very hopeful goals and very hopeful successes AFSC and its crisis team has been able to achieve for victims of Hurricane Katrina. Let's end by talking about your immediate goals to raise more money and what that money, again, will hopefully do for the people hit by Hurricane Katrina and perhaps Hurricane Rita as well.
Well, we have a couple of goals we want to serve, and we're doing an assessment right now to see where. We want to serve those who are missed by most organizations. We want to serve the poor. We want to serve undocumented workers who are not eligible for services from FEMA or others. I have just heard a couple of days ago that convicted felons are not eligible for Section 8 housing, and they're not eligible for FEMA services. These are people who served their debt to society. They've put their time in jail, and now they're out, and they're, if they're in this region, they are denied services. We want to look to serve Native Americans who have been devastated by this and don't tend to show up on the radar screen of the big organizations. So we're looking into pockets of underserved people. And based on what they need, which is what we always do, we don't go in and tell them what they need. Based on what they need, then we will provide whatever it is for the long term. We're also looking at some congregation-to-congregation efforts that are going on, particularly helping black churches rebuild and do the community development around their areas, their neighborhoods. And we're also still working with the big influx of refugees or evacuees in Houston to try to get some neighbor-to-neighbor programs working.
So if listeners are already thinking in terms of looking for partners to work with and they have ideas about how to help individuals by either, again, bringing them into their communities and helping them in a personal way, or perhaps they have other ideas, should they be thinking in terms of partnering with AFSC?
They certainly can, and they should, you know, call us, go to our website, and find out what's going on and find out how they could do it. I know there's a lot of friends meetings in Connecticut as well and around the country. So we really are partnering with everybody who wants to help, because this is such a massive tragedy that we all need to get the job done. And we also need to hold up for scrutiny the fact that the racist policies of our country that has eviscerated the social safety net and made clear, as no one ever could possibly have dreamed, how racism affects the outcome of this disaster. Eventually, when Congress begins to have hearings and begins to examine these questions, we want to bring the voice of those people to Congress.
Mary Ellen McNish, thanks so much for talking with us today.
You're welcome. I appreciate the opportunity.
Mary Ellen McNish is the General Secretary of AFSC, the American Friends Service Committee, afsc.org or 1-888-588-2372 to learn more about their efforts and to donate to hurricane relief efforts. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. This program was produced in the studios of WHUS Stores, whus.org to listen live Wednesdays at 5, talknation.org for transcripts and a discussion about this program.